Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Marriage Be Hard podcast. I am yelling in your ear. I am so
screaming.
Sorry. Kev immediately went for the volume. I apologize if I was loud, you guys.
Turn it down.
All right. Sorry. I am Melissa.
I'm Kevin Allen Frederick Sr.
Okay. And this is the Marriage Be Hard podcast, named after our New York Times bestselling book that has officially been out for 1 year. If you have not gone out to buy this book everywhere books are sold, I'm not quite sure what you're doing with your life, but you should be running to Target, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, Audible. You should be doing the things and purchasing this book. It is the New York Times bestseller for a reason. Hello, somebody. This podcast is a time where we talk to some of our favorite couples about love, relationships, their love story, get to know them a little bit better, and sometimes we drop gems. With us today, you have seen them all over the Instagram with their adorable children doing all of the gems and the cutesy little things, and they're matching and the clothes are cute. And sometimes James come up in there and sometimes his energy be like, y'all keep messing with my wife and I might fight y'all. I never met them in real life. I feel like James's energy all the time. You mess with my kids, you mess with my wife, and I am liable to go to jail. I feel like that's the energy you give.
That's the energy everybody got to get.
Help me welcome James and Tina
Meeks.
Very good.
Thank you guys for having us.
We're so excited to have you. Thank you for joining us. To our audience, listen, we started this podcast about 15 minutes late because we over here at the Kevin Stage Studios was having every internet issue.
Not Spectrum. The internet up here is not Spectrum, so I don't want to hear it. Spectrum gets you the fastest Mbps download speeds. Spectrum One coming this fall.
So we apologize if there's a bit of a delay, but that is the reason why we're trying to work through it. Okay, so we like to start off this podcast simply going through your love story. So if you could make a long story short, tell us how you met. And if there is a beautiful proposal story to be told, we want to hear that too.
Well, the shortest story is that we met in college.
Yes.
That's the shortest story.
Okay, in what class?
Actually, just like out on the yard.
Yeah,
courtyard. He used to be like a party promoter.
Are you always... She actually be doing this when she said, like, just making my job seem little.
He used to be like a little party promoter.
He was like always handing out flyers and stuff. And sometimes he would even be at like the entrance when like me and my friends would go out. So I just came to know him like that way because he was like always in the mix on the scene kind of thing. But we didn't actually start dating until you graduated.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell my version. I don't know what your version is. We had been back when, like, it was cool to talk on Facebook Messenger because, you know, it was just for college students. We were messaging back and forth, and he graduated a year before I did. So I was coming back to school. We both went to school in Atlanta, but I had went home to Virginia for the summer, and I was mentioned, like, having to get a ride home from the airport or back to my apartment from the airport, and he offered me a ride, and...
And I took your nappy braids down.
Braids down.
There was more to that story. So she was an ROTC. She was off in the field.
I had to go
field
to training over training. The summer, so my hair was braided.
She had these braids in her hair for like 6 months. So that's she came back, and I'm like, yo, these braids ain't really doing it no more. So let me help you take these things out. And then that kind of led us down this path that we ended up going on our first date.
That is something special to take your braids out upon like an initial meeting. That's such a vulnerable experience. Like he was down from day one. Tina over there disagreeing.
And the way he called my head nappy on like national podcast. Not sitting well with me.
How long ago was this?
This was 2008. Yeah.
I mean, he's still taking my braids out, though, so. Took him out 2 weeks ago, didn't
he?
Yes, so you said 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2008.
Okay.
I've taken braids down. I've helped grease her scalp.
Yeah.
A black woman trusted you not to cut her actual hair.
That's
you cut,
real.
Yeah.
Cut the braiding hair out
before. Yeah.
Yes.
My heart was beating fast. I was like, ah, this is too much pressure.
Listen, not nearly as fast as mine, because I rock my hair short anyway. So if you accidentally cut something, it's gonna be a patch. I need you to know what you're doing.
I was cutting way low just because I don't want no smoke.
Right. Like
the kids say.
Now you know I got 3 inches of hair. Why are you cutting this down here? You know what? Leave it there.
We'll no just cap take it out. Versus the riz.
Okay, so 2008, you guys take us on your, how long did you guys date before you guys got married?
A long time. So we did things backwards. We definitely had a kid well before we got married. So we ended up pregnant like within the first, 6 months?
Yeah.
The 6 months?
6 months of the unbraid? 6 months of the unbraid?
We ended up pregnant 6 months into this thing. We were still like trying to figure out how much we liked each other, if we was gonna like be for real. So and that story
Dang.
That story was wild too, because she was late on her cycle and I picked her up from work one night and I was like, hey, you haven't mentioned your cycle at all. Like, did it come?
Not you clocking it before she did.
I was clocking that thing, you hear me? So she was like, nah, it didn't come yet. So I'm like, what you mean it didn't come? Like, are you pregnant? She was like, it's probably just late. I'm just stressed. So I took her to Walgreens that night. It was like 11 o'clock at
if
night.
If you're in Atlanta, the Walgreens on North Avenue, that one.
Get in the car now.
We went to Walgreens that night. And of course, she took the test. She took two of them. They both came back positive. And it was like, yo, life just got real because we weren't planning to be parents.
But y'all was doing that stuff, though.
We was doing that stuff. We was planning something, but we weren't thinking about it. Yeah. So we fast forward. We had our oldest son, little James, and then tried to work out, like, being in a relationship, being young parents, figuring that out together. And then in 2000,
when he was born, I was 22, 23.
Yeah. 23.
It was ghetto.
Yeah. So we was broke. We ain't had no money. We ain't had no house.
We have no experience. We was like fake adulting in college. So life came at us real fast.
Yeah.
We don't usually interrupt people, but I'm very curious. Did that, life change, as they say in the business world, did that life change impact you guys' relationship? Did you guys discuss maybe just co-parenting, or you like, okay, now it's got to be serious, or you got to get married eventually, or did it not?
It for me, it initially was. I was like, just because we're pregnant, that doesn't mean we're gonna go run and get married right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was against forcing a marriage because there was a kid involved. I didn't think that was going to work. So I was like, if we didn't know that we were going to be married before we got pregnant, then we shouldn't go get married tomorrow because people are going to look at us a certain type of way.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually not bad logic, but Tina grew up churchy. So I know she was probably like, oh, nah, my G, we going to have to, if you like it, then you should have put it. I'm going to need this ring to put on it.
When did you start saying my G?
I say it sometimes when I don't want to say my G. So I take out when I don't want to say.
Never heard.
Who are you? I have said it before.
Oh my God.
Never heard you.
I literally have said it before.
My G?
Yes, because I don't want to say nig. So I just go to the G.
I didn't know you said nig either. So I'm just excited about you saying my G.
My G. I don't even know you anymore.
Because we do say. But obviously now this all has to be edited, so it's just easier to say my G.
Why are you editing out? Take it easy, my guy. All right, Joe.
Y'all that much more now. Oh my God!
I literally have said this before.
Never.
I have never
heard you say my G.
I have literally said this.
My G. I've never heard you say my G.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, go ahead, Turkey.
Honestly, I was so focused on just trying to figure out life as being a mom, and it was a bigger change than that for me, because that also meant that I wasn't going to commission into the United States Army anymore, which had been my plan, that I didn't even get caught up on the marriage piece, because I was just worried about trying to figure out how to be a mom and how I was going to be there for this baby.
Wait, because you got pregnant, you couldn't go in the Army no more?
No, I could, but I no longer wanted to. We both grew up as military brats, and while our dad had amazing careers, and I don't know if you feel this, but my dad missed a lot, and it was not because he wanted to, it was because of work. So I could not wrap my mind around what that would have meant for me as a mom, and that's not the kind of mom that I wanted to be. So I decided that journey was no longer for me.
Yeah, they say both our dads were military. Military brats as well. So they say Army first, family always, and they just mean Army first. Family.
Yes, that's it.
Army always.
Like, that's a little spoken. But if your dad has orders, both of our dads got orders away a month of our wedding.
Wow.
That's part of the reason I'm doing the renewal. Neither one of our dads were present at our wedding.
My dad had to go. Actually, they both have to go to the Middle East because the war in Afghanistan.
Right after
9/11. Both of our dads got stationed in the Middle East, different duty station. But it wasn't like this is coming. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, this is a possibility. It was like within a week, I feel like your dad's was even more fast than mine. My dad was like, ooh, it might be looking like we have to go set up. He's an engineer in the Army. He was like, I'm going to have to go set up this new base. I'm not sure. And Melissa's dad, it was like, your dad got orders.
Because they were trying to stall it because they knew the wedding. And then it was just like, nah, you're going. And this is the day.
What was your dad's division, Melissa? Do you know?
He was an 88 Mike.
Okay. My daddy was infantry, but he was the comms guy in the infantry. So he had to go immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My dad was 49th engineer prime power.
Hush.
That's really what it is.
What did sound like you said something about Power Rangers?
Engineer.
That did not sound real. That prime sound made
power.
Up.
They were called Prime Power.
That sound like they did this.
I don't know
what they did. My dad, it was the 43rd really Infantry. Is it the 43rd Infantry Division at Fort Stewart?
Yes.
Rocket Amar?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All that. Yeah. So anyway.
Prime Power.
Military brats, but I just, that's not the experience that I wanted as a mother. So I decided. No, pissed Uncle Sam off real good because they had paid for me to go to school. But another story for another day. And then so we had our baby, broke up a couple of times, stayed together a little bit, shacked up a little bit.
Y'all broke up a couple times?
Yeah.
More than a couple. Yeah. We broke up.
With the baby?
Yeah.
With the baby. But here's the thing. The baby was fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We managed to be great co-parents. We managed to be great co-parents, but just as a couple, there was some stuff that we just weren't vibing. So when we got engaged, when I moved to Arizona with you, the whole year before we weren't even together. And he gets this job in Arizona when was this? What year was that?
2013.
He gets this job in Arizona. We are living separate, doing our own separate things. And he was like, would you come with me?
And she said no. She was like, what she said. She was like, I'm not coming as I'm not moving from Georgia to anywhere as anybody's girlfriend.
And I put my church hat back
on. She did. She put the church hat back on me. And so me, I'm like, man, we've been fornicating all this time. You trying to hit me with the church stuff now. So I was like, I said, well, I'm only offering girlfriendship. I'm not offering anything else beyond that. So we can go together and try to work it out like that or not. Or you just don't go and we'll figure out how to co-parent with me being across states. So that was contentious. We basically ended that conversation. Like I was going, she was staying. We'll figure out what we're going to do with our son. And then I guess she thought about it some more and finally decided that
you go in and that's in. Did he propose? You went in the sin.
I went.
She went to sin.
Went to sin. That's what they always do. Church boys. No, we know them better than
them. Hear me out. I went in August, or was it August?
No, we left on my birthday.
October. Oh, we went in October, and I had a ring by December.
James got it together. He knew what it was.
Moving was the best thing that could have happened for us in our relationship because it removed any of the distractions. Atlanta was a distraction. Friends, family. People always in the mix. They know the drama. They're trying to influence us to go one way or the other. When we got to Arizona, I don't know if you guys ever lived there. Arizona's like being on an island. There's like five black people there. Like we were three of them, us two and our son.
What part of Arizona?
We were in Phoenix.
Well, we lived in Mesa, so it was right outside of Phoenix.
Yeah. So we're there, we're trying to figure out life together, but it really like made us focus and lock in on each other and really start pouring into each other in ways that we weren't doing in Atlanta. So by that, I would say by that November, I started talking to my parents, like, I think I'm going to propose to her. And they was like, when are you going to do it? And I was like, well, I'm trying to get a ring made and stuff right now. And then when the ring finally came, my mom kept asking me, well, you said you was going to do this. When are you going to do it? And I said, I think I'm going to do it on New Year's. So we stopped going out on New Year's a long time ago. We would go to church on New Year's.
Yeah. Girl, you done got James. You done went full circle, didn't you, James? This is a 180.
He's gonna bring in the new year with the Son of Man. So, watch not seven. We're gonna start at 10. So on the count of three, with the new year ring, we're gonna bring in a praise and set up your situation. Leave that old year and that old thing. God is doing a new thing.
Watch night is so long.
2008, God's gonna be great.
My God, that countdown is so long.
God's on time. Yeah. 2010, we gonna win. 2011. We're going to heaven. 2012, nothing rhymes with 12. 2012, God gonna do what he want to.
Why is he so after him?
You've been in church too long. Because that's the guy. If your theme for the year does not rhyme, you're doing it wrong.
Your year's messed up.
You're doing it wrong.
2020, God's gonna give you plenty of warranty. They didn't tell you what it was.
We're going to take a break from this episode to tell you about BetterHelp, who is sponsoring today's episode. Thank you so much to BetterHelp. We all sometimes need help in our journey of life. We simply do not have all of the answers. We're not always equipped to handle everything that's in front of us. I told you guys that I have my own therapist, and I actually just started with a brand new therapist that will help me just navigate career choices. Because again, we don't always have all the answers. So having someone to bounce questions off of, help guide you, get you an outside perspective that's going to be neutral and objective, is sometimes exactly the thing that you need to go forward in your journey of life. We're a huge proponent of therapy over here, whether it's, again, for career choices, for relationship choices, for parenthood, whatever the course may be, or just checking in on your mental health. It's always good to have someone that you can just talk to, because sometimes that's really all you need. BetterHelp is convenient. It is designed, actually. Part of their design is to be convenient. You can do it right from the comfort of your own home. You simply fill out a questionnaire and they'll match you with the therapist that they think best suits your needs. And the best part is, if that person does not work out for you, they most certainly will do the breakup for you, so you don't have to have that awkward, so sorry, it's not you, it's me conversation. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapy and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/MBH today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MBH. And I'll be sure to check in with you guys as I tell you kind of the process with this brand new therapist and let you guys know how it's working out. So stay tuned for that. Now let's get back to the episode. Woo! We're having too much fun. I'm sorry.
My goodness. Yes. Yeah, so
sorry.
2013, New Year's Eve, we're watching, because our home church is still in Atlanta. We hadn't found one in Arizona. So we're watching the service. And during the service, she had turned her head. And right when she turned back around, I was on one knee with the ring out. Aww. And I asked her to marry me.
Missed the part.
Yes.
Before, I was like, you know, a creator. I've always been like a social media junkie, and he knew that. So I turned my head because he had tweeted me a link, and it was a Vine video of our son holding the ring. He was supposed to say, "Will you marry my daddy, please?" But it says, "Will you bury my daddy, please?" Because his letter sounds were a little off. But I see this, and then I turn around, and he's, you know, on bending knee.
Oh, that's great.
I don't even know what he said, because I was just like a bucket full of tears.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good work, James. That's good. That's excellent.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
It's elite proposal skills.
Yeah. So it escalated quick after that. So she said yes. And then she was
married in 8 months.
We got married the next August.
I mean, because what was he waiting for?
Yeah. At that point, it was like, we've been around each other forever. You know, we know everything about each other. Like, let's not be engaged for 10 years now, too. Let's go get married. So we went and got married in Atlanta. And then we had we got pregnant with our second baby on wedding night, actually.
Shut up. Dang. Okay, so wait, how long is the gap between the time little James and your marriage?
4.5 years.
Yeah, 4.5.
This is a long time. Yeah, they ain't no point, child. If we gonna do it, let's go and do it. Ain't no
time.
James
finna start school this year. You might as well go. Might as well do this. Yeah. Little James going kindergarten.
Yeah. Okay, this makes total sense now. Okay, yeah. I love this. I actually agree. I do believe that. Obviously, it's not for everybody, but a piece of advice I would give to young couples is to move. Yeah. Go somewhere and cling to each other. Yep. Your mom ain't coming over.
You have no choice but to figure it out.
Right.
We were married we got married in 2004. Yeah. 9 years.
Yeah.
We married 9 years. And we moved to LA. And we didn't even have, like, I wouldn't say no issues, but we didn't have like a lot of stuff we were struggling with. But I feel like we both feel like our relationship truly blossomed when we moved to LA. Like, there's just something about, and our parents weren't even there anymore in Washington, but we went to the church our parents went to. We had the same friends from high school. Like, there's just a certain level of closeness you get when it's just like, it is just us. It was just us and our two boys. We didn't have, like, my brother and our friend end up, like, moving later. But, you know, L.A. is very big.
Yeah.
So he lives so far. It was like, y'all don't live close enough to like at our old in Washington, her siblings or her younger sisters stayed there and my brother's family were there. And they were literally not even a 10-minute drive from us on the same street. Mm-hmm. We lived literally on the same street. And Melissa's sister lived no more than 15 minutes away. So we just were all kind of like here.
Yeah. Yep.
We all moved, and like, at least for Melissa and I, our relationship blossomed, I believe.
Yeah,
tremendously. We had to find our own church for the first time on our own.
Yeah,
you know, it was like our parents choosing the church. We was like, okay, what's important to us? You know, children's church. How far is this? I remember we went to one church. The children, one of the kids, they were fighting and stuff, and the boys were like, "Can we not go to this one? Because that children's church is chaos back there, man." You know, and we went to this white church, had amazing children's church, but the Holy Ghost never moved.
Yeah,
and you know, for us, it was like, "Dawg, I get, you know, we joke like, oh, 38-minute service is cool, but like sometimes I need us to go 2.5 hours because I gotta get there.
Yeah.
I want to lay prostrate. I want the preacher not to get up. That never happened. That man getting up in 22 minutes from the moment that service started, he's gonna be up in 22 minutes, he's gonna be down in 38. And it felt too. So we had to have those conversations, but they also had donuts. So I'm saying that was dope.
They should have donuts.
You know what I'm saying? You could eat them in the sanctuary.
Sanctuary was nice and the AC was always on. You hear me?
And the trunk or treat was crazy.
And the trunk or treat was nice.
Okay, so one thing I'm really curious about, because you guys were living together in sin, you had the baby in sin, and then you got married. No, I'm joking. But I am curious, did the actual officialness of the marriage ceremony change anything? Did it feel more like, oh, now we're married, things should be different? Or did it feel like, oh, that didn't really change much?
It did, but it didn't. Like, life came at us so fast after we got married because while we were in Arizona when we got married, I mean, engaged, we got married in actual Atlanta because that's where most of our like friends and stuff were and like where our relationship started. But midway through that, we moved to Texas. We started building a house and then we immediately got pregnant. So it was just like
life
was moving like a freight train. So we were just processing a whole bunch of changes all at once. But I think that the togetherness piece was already there. So it changed, but not too much in terms of our dynamic.
To me, it just felt like there was just like an elevated level of responsibility for me now as a husband that I didn't necessarily feel as her boyfriend or, you know, her baby daddy or whatever. I just felt like, okay, like, I got a family that's really, really counting on me now. So I got to always do what's best for them. So any bit of selfishness that I might have had prior to, it was just gone now. It was like everything is gone now.
That we've been talking, this theme has come up a lot in conversations that we've had. The man's desire to provide for his family, even like when it goes wayward, like it's still very strong. So that when I first got fired from the bank, the thing I first felt is like, how am I going to do my part to provide for my family? And I wasn't even in a position where I was paying all the bills. Like Melissa and I, we was always partners. We always was chipping in on the rent. I never had enough money until now to pay all the bills. Like, we moved to the apartment, and I was like, thank you, God, because I was by myself only for my bills. You know, I wouldn't even got approved for the house on my own. So when I got fired, I'm like, oh, my God, these bills were set up for two incomes, and it's only one. You know what I'm saying? So I understand that, James, even when I've taken big swings in business, it's always been like, if we can hit this, it's going to set our family up. So when you miss, you feel like, you have hurt you've like set your family back. And that means more to us than just like, oh, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, they're supposed to make sure my family's good. Now they're not good and they're negative. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you invest something and you lose it, if you just didn't do anything, that would have been better than if you lost it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I get that feeling like, oh my God, I got to provide for a man who honors that part of the covenant. Some men don't feel that pressure at all, feel it. Yeah, the men feel it, we feel it very intensely.
Yeah,
because even to this day, like we were having a conversation this week, and we were just talking about like what stresses us or what gives us anxiety, and I was like, money will forever give me anxiety because like I just feel that even if we're good and we're fine right now, we're doing really well, but there's always just this anxiety of like, you know, if I make the wrong decision, what if we lose this? And then what if we lose that? So I'm playing all these scenarios in my head where she's more like, man, we all right. We ain't worried about that.
I was like, wait, we're fine. Like, why is money giving you anxiety? But it's just the inner workings of his brain when it comes to just steering the mothership of our family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you got to be a real provider kind of man to get it. Because sometimes I'd be like, what?
Where you guys moved to the East Coast though, right?
We are now.
We moved a lot.
We're in Virginia now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. It was like you said Texas, but I thought for sure just a few years ago you moved.
We were in Texas for 5 years. Did COVID year in LA, and then came to Virginia.
Yeah. If COVID doesn't happen,
we're only in LA. Only here for that one period of time, actually. For the 1 year of COVID. Forget it, child. You know what I'm trying to say. You were here in LA for such a short period of time.
We moved to LA the end of 2019. I had gotten a job at a startup out in Marina Del Rey. So we were living in Woodland Hills for basically end of 2019, all of 2020. And then it was my dream always to move to LA. So I was so excited when we finally got to go. Then COVID happens. And we're locked down. Like I said, we're living in Woodland Hills, so we don't have a backyard. We got a beautiful view, but the kids don't have anywhere to play. We're taking them out into the driveway to play and stuff like that. So the family hates LA because they didn't get to experience it. Like I had always experienced it all them years visiting out there. Yeah. So at the end of that, we just kind of like reflected and kind of similar to you all. When we moved to LA, we didn't know anybody out there. It was just us and our kids. And we had three kids at this point. So we were kind of thinking like, let's go back to the East Coast. Let's be closer to family. It doesn't seem like LA is going to let up on the restrictions. And like, I know everybody's tired of being in the house. So let's go back East, where in the South and in the East, they didn't really care what you did. You could do whatever you wanted to do.
It wasn't outside. Like,
hey, what is COVID?
Been outside. Shut
up. Right. It was close to 2 days. And then it was right back open, especially Atlanta.
Yes, Atlanta was like wide open the whole time. So we decided to come back this way to be close by. My family lives in the area. All of Tina's family lives in the area. And then, 6 months into it, we bought a house and just decided to sit still for a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you think the military bratness of your childhood has influenced you? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
It It's one of the better qualities that I think we both picked up from having that experience, because it ain't nothing for us to get up and go.
Yeah.
Like literally our decision to leave California wasn't even like a well thought out thing. We were just talking one day and then was like, we should move. Yeah. All right. And I mean, we packed that house up like some thieves in the night.
Really?
Yeah.
It's had the opposite effect for Melissa and I.
Yeah.
Like we wanted our kid because
like
we
plant roots.
I want roots.
We wanted,
I want roots so bad.
No, kids should be able to have friends that they
now that our oldest is getting older, I'm itching. I am, but he's starting high school, so I don't want to do that to him. He don't care, but I don't want to do that to him. And he's like, I went to four different high schools and I'm fine. He's like, he'll be fine. I went to three.
But kids are resilient.
I don't want to do that to him.
Yeah, I get it. And that's a thing with me, especially high school. It's like, no, I want you to go with your friends. I want you to graduate with them. Like, I get that because I'm exactly actually the same. And we've lived close enough where we've moved. It's still close enough that he's still in the same school district so he can have those same, those same friends. Okay, so then take me to James. You worked a full-time job. Tina, were you always doing influencing?
No, I used to be your friendly neighborhood insurance adjuster.
Really?
So walk us through the process of becoming influencers.
So honestly, I would say as far back as 2015, I was on all the socials when they started or whenever I had access based on my phone. Because I remember at one point I was team Android and you couldn't get on Instagram. Anyway, I've always been like an early adapter to social media. But back in like 2015, when I would post on Instagram, it was like when everybody was really struggling to learn how to do their natural hair. But I had already figured it out. Like I can style my hair. So I would post like videos or like short videos or pictures and people was like, please, you need to do YouTube. You need to do YouTube. He went out and he bought me my camera. And from 2015 to the end of 2017, I false started so many times. I would record the videos and then get like imposter syndrome or record the videos and get self-conscious about how I looked on the camera. So I would just never post them. And then he said something to me toward the end of 2017. And it was a challenge, but it was the way he said it that just kind of lit a fire in me. But it was pretty much like, you're spending all this time on social media anyway. You need to figure out how to make money from it.
Not an Evergreen commercial.
Come on.
I mean,
I know what you mean. The college.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So in 2018 started, we normally, for the last, I don't know how many years, we start our year with the Daniel Fast. And during that time when we would Daniel Fast, I would restrict my access to social media because I'm being conscious of what I'm consuming.
Yeah.
So while we were doing the fast, I built my blog by myself. I didn't even tell him. I was like, I'm going to be serious this time and I'm going to show you. So I built out my blog. I started planning my first couple of posts. And once our Daniel Fast ended that year, at the end of that January, I launched and announced myself as Her Life Sparkles and been running ever since.
Wow. And then James, you eventually came off your job, right?
Yeah, I left my job, last March? Mm-hmm. Yeah, March of last year. So she had been doing her thing for a while. She quit her job right before we moved to LA to become an influencer full time. I was still working, but I had gotten to a place, man, when I worked in tech and I was so stressed out. Like I made great money, but I never was really home. And then even during COVID, I was home, but I was stuck in front of a computer doing Zoom calls all day long. Mm. And it just was every boss that I had, they would have me stressed out. And it's like, well, we pay you X amount of dollars. So you're going to do what we say. You're going to be where we need you to be.
Like we're paying you to be stressed. It's like how they basically position it. Yes. I know you're going to be stressed, but you're going to get a lot for it.
You're going to get your
now
money.
We're going to remove the stress.
Right.
Yeah. You might die early, but at least you got paid. So it got to a point where I was just like really, really stressed out. And then the final straw for me was working for this guy. And we're back living on the East now, but I'm still working West Coast hours. And the guy got upset about something my team did, but they had did what he told them to do. He forgot he told them. He called me at 2 a.m. and we got into a screaming match at 2 a.m. from like 2 to 3, like so loud. I'm downstairs in my living room. I had to leave the bedroom. I'm in my living room now screaming at him. Our son, our youngest son, Luke, he comes downstairs and he was afraid of the dark. He would normally not even walk like to come downstairs without, he'll scream, but usually to, like, come get him. Yeah. He walked all the way downstairs into the living room and he was like, "Daddy, what's wrong?" And I realized then that I was just completely out of character and out of pocket and I couldn't do it anymore. So I go back to bed and she's like, "What's wrong? Who you in there yelling at?" And I told her I was arguing with the job and I was like, "Yo, I can't do it no more." And she was like, "You want to quit?" And I was like, she told me to quit right then.
I was like, "You ain't got to do it no more."
She's like, "You don't got to do it no more." And I was like, "Nah, I don't want to just like rage quit.
People, that job.
People counting on me. I got employees.
Like, be on my time.
Listen,
people don't care about you, bro. Quit that job.
You don't hang up the phone and quit.
Quit that job. What are you stressing for?"
Yes. That's so great. We put the plan in place then for, you know, let's start getting some things together. And I was like, I want to be gone by March. And it just so happened he and I had another blow up in March. And I was like, all right, it's time. And I chucked the deuces and I haven't looked back since.
There we go. And I hope they fail. I hope their company goes under.
So now you've been doing this, so it sounds like 2 years, year and a half or so?
Yeah, I'm a year and a half in. Have my biggest year this year as a creator. And it's fun because I was always helping her anyway. So I learned photography on my own, just like helping her do her stuff. So yeah. It kind of came easy to me. So now just being in the space where, you know, I can do it. I'm appealing to dads, to fathers, to people who came up in the tech world, the business world like I did, and kind of just sharing my journey, but then also showing another side of fatherhood, because I think it really irritates my soul even to this day. If I go outside, like now, if I take my kids somewhere and a white lady comes up to me and she's like, "Oh, it's so cool to see a dad with his kids." I'm like, "What do you mean? My dad was always with his kids. Like, all my friends' dads was with their kids. Like, why do y'all still say that stuff?" So just trying to change that narrative and show a different side of fatherhood and also being a husband.
You know what is so interesting is I 100% agree with you. While there are, obviously, and I don't mean just Black men, I mean men, okay, literally men of all races that aren't present in their kids' lives. That's just a fact of people, okay? That's just a fact. However, I'm so grateful that I know more men that are present than I know
that are absent.
Yes.
And so it blows my mind. And that's not to say, again, that those statistics are there for a reason. Obviously, baby daddies, absent fathers exist. Right. But man, I know some amazing men who are very present fathers. The other thing I was going to say is,
thank you, my G.
Yeah, you're welcome, my G. The other thing I was going to say is the other part about the fatherhood piece that I find with your content is like the different perspective in addition to what you're saying is you are a, to me, you represent like a real Black man in fatherhood. And what I mean by that is Instagram, social media, oftentimes there's a lot of like romanticizing, which I'm here for. I love very beautiful aesthetic content. Yeah. I'm not the creator that produces that, but I love to look at it because I just think it's great. But a lot of times I feel like even through very aesthetic videos that you may post, the personality that I get from you, and maybe it's in your captions, I don't know. You strike me as a dude that'll literally go to jail.
Oh yeah, yeah. Look, I don't.
My G.
Yeah, my G. I don't play like, about my family.
I feel that energy. Like, even if things are very aesthetic, I feel like behind the wall, it's also like a like. Play me if you want to, though. Yes. I know this is real cute, but still, try me though.
And that's what it is. And I think even with the content, you know, we have a lot of corporate sponsorships and brand deals. But like, if you come in my comments and you say something slick to my wife, I'm finna get you. Like, there's some
people at my boss, bro. I don't care.
Right. There's some people that turn the other cheek. I don't. My cheeks stay looking dead at you. I'm not turning nothing. We're gonna talk about this. You're not going to disrespect my family. You're not going to disrespect my kids. That's just the rules. Anything else you could do, but the family is always going to be off limits. So, and that was really the turning point of why I had to leave that job too, because I was about to get on the red eye to go back to LA and go see that man. Cause I'm like, you wouldn't say this to my face. So why are you talking crazy to me over the phone? So it's like, when you get to that point, it's like, you got to remove
yourself. You are to fly cross country like, and have enough anger. Like as soon as I land, let me get my bag.
You was going to run me my fade.
And then get back on the plane with sore knuckles, feeling relieved.
But I actually love that because I do feel like sometimes certain people, they forget that there's humans. Like you're not looking at an animatronic, you're not looking at like an AI person. Like this is an actual person who has love and feelings for their family and their kids, and you can't come on here acting and speaking no type of way. Like, girl, I tell that to people all the time. Save it for your group chat. Don't come in my comments with it.
Because 9 times out of 10 I'm gonna keep it cute.
Yeah.
But on that 10th time, when you go to hell, I'm going to hell with you.
I feel like you keep it cute though, Tina. I never seen you I never seen you collect.
My God. I do my best and then it's like, as I know, because I coach like influencers and stuff, so I know that, like, they're looking up to me for like the best way to respond to this kind of stuff. So most days I will block and delete. If I do complain about it at all, I'm complaining about it to him.
Yeah.
But there are those occasions, especially, and I honestly, I can take the jabs at me. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking crazy about my kids, I'm going to hell with you every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to, you know, make a hill into a mountain, but like the most recent example of somebody called my baby ugly. Like, my baby ugly where?
Right.
And I'm sure it was behind a silhouette picture. Silhouette profile, so I can't see you.
Right. Yes,
it always is, though.
Crazy.
What a wild thing to say, though.
It's nuts. Jay-Z, but it's like,
people even talk about your baby crazy.
It's wild, though.
Jay-Z said that.
The internet's a wild place. A wild place.
Because people don't get the mouth enough.
That's exactly why.
Back in the day, you said something crazy. You had an answer for that.
Yeah.
You had
people heard about it. Like, oh, you said what? What's up now? Mm-hmm. That what's up now is harder through the internet. So people say stuff that they would never say because you get your teeth get to clicking.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
But it's weird too, because those same people, like if you guys posted something and they said something negative to you, that same person, if they saw you in person, is gonna ask for a picture or an autograph.
1,000%
So it's like, why are you being weird about
why are you being like this, bro?
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Okay, so at this point, you guys have been married for 9 years.
Yes.
Okay, talk about your best piece of advice or what you've learned over the course. I'm going to phrase it differently because this is a question I always ask. What advice would you give your younger married self? What advice would you give? You could go back and tell Tina, girl, this, I need to tell you this so you could do it better. I need to tell you this so you could do it better.
No, you go first.
So I know for me, I would say you have to... Don't be afraid to have the tough conversations.
That's good, James.
I think a lot of times, especially nowadays, people automatically assume that an uncomfortable conversation means that you're a bad person.
Yeah.
That's not the truth. And I think when you marry to somebody, you really have to find comfort in them uncomfortable conversations, because that's how you grow.
Yes.
As a unit. And, you know, early on, we had our first married uncomfortable conversation. It was our first anniversary, and we like to recap the year during our trip. But it was for me, she asked me like what I thought went well, what didn't go well. It's like, name 3 things on both sides, what you thought went well, what didn't go well. And at that point, we had just built a house. We had been living in there, but we also had just had our baby girl. And I talked about the things that went well. Then when we went to what didn't go well, I was like, well, like you don't cook anymore. I was like, we built a house, we got a brand new kitchen, and you ain't even made me no eggs, no bacon, no nothing.
Eyes almost came out your head, Tina.
And when I tell you, like, she immediately started crying, like waterworks, like crying. I didn't say it in a mean way. It was literally like me just saying what I thought she could do better. And then for a while there after that, I was afraid to give her feedback or have tough conversations because I felt like it was going to result in tears. And here we are now, we mad at each other. We in Mexico, we mad at each other, not talking on our anniversary trip because I just gave her some feedback. So right. I would say that, you know, you have to be comfortable having uncomfortable conversations and both people have to be open to it. There's a way to say things respectfully to your partner, your spouse or whatever, so that nobody is like feeling the type of way about the delivery, but listen to the message, receive the message, and then figure out what you can do to improve upon that thing or give them feedback about, you know, what you think they could do better too. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That feels like your corporate world too, because you called it feedback. I feel like this is a review session. You know, let's go win. Yeah. We're going to talk about, you know, the pros of the year, the cons of the year. We're going to give you a salary raise, a merit increase. Yeah.
Yes, okay. All of that.
Yeah. Okay, Tina.
I actually have two, because one is a piggyback off of him, and it's to ask for what you need. A lot of times we like to assume that our partner can read our mind or know what's going on with us. And a lot of times he can. He can read me without me saying anything. But there is a lot of times that I need things that he doesn't know or he isn't aware of. And I have to communicate. And back to that example, when we had that conversation, when we took that trip, I was 3 months postpartum. I was beyond overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. He was coming home late for work. We didn't have like that super support system. This was our first time living in a house of that size. So it just, and I was still working. Yeah. So it felt like my plate was overflowing and I didn't know how to communicate that. So I was just shut down.
Yeah. That's good.
And, you know, or cry or whatever, but I needed help. And when I did eventually break the ice to help, that's probably the first time we started getting help with like cleaning.
Yeah.
Because it had just became too much for me.
Yeah.
But we had to have the conversation, you know, get ugly a few times before it got to a point of understanding. But probably had I asked sooner, we could have got a resolve sooner, because here we are, you know, 4 kids later and I still don't cook.
You know what's funny about that?
That's
Tina?
So
it's
good.
Comes off as such a simple piece of advice, but it is hard. And on top of being hard to say or express to James, who you loved and been with for a long time at that time, we tend to think people do know what we need and how we are feeling.
Yeah.
Even frustrating, you know, you huffing and puffing, you or your energy shifting, thinking, you know, like, you know what you're thinking. But they don't know.
They don't.
Yep.
And then when you, a lot of times what ends up happening is when you finally say it, you've done felt this way for so long, you can't even say it in a way that they can receive it
yeah,
and do it. Because now you're pissed off.
Right.
Because I've been feeling like this for a long time. Well, it is the first time I'm hearing of this.
Yes.
You've been stewing on this and feeling this way, ruminating on it or talking to your friends, family, whatever you've been doing, you ain't been telling me.
Right.
So now you coming at me or coming at your partner as if they know this whole time,
right?
But you have never shared that. And I think it's so simple, but so necessary to say, hey, here's how I'm needing. Like, when you don't do this or this doesn't happen, this is how it impacts me. Because I believe in most healthy relationships, most partners are not intentionally hurting you.
100%.
And a lot of times people are unaware. I'm very guilty of this. Unaware of how my actions are being perceived. If Melissa doesn't tell me, hey, when you do this or say this or do actions like this, it makes me feel like that, because you're not doing it on purpose, you can't imagine that it's coming across like that.
Yeah,
because it's not your intention. So now you got, and that's elite married coupling 307 is adjusting how you interact with somebody when the way you used to interact, you didn't even mean harm that way.
Yeah.
But you're going to change it because it was being interpreted this way, just so your partner doesn't feel like that. Right. Because a lot early in marriages and in relationships, I don't mean that. So you should just stop taking it like that. Mm-hmm. Or you're tripping it. I don't mean it like that. You should stop acting like that. That's you. That's not me. That can all be well and true. However, it still makes that person feel that way. Yeah. A healthier relationship is trying to adjust things, even if you didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can't invalidate feelings. You have to allow a person to feel whatever it is they're feeling and figure out, like, how do you guys figure out a way that you don't make them feel that way again, right? And I think even for me, an adjustment for me as a man and as a husband was, you know, early on in our relationship, I was like the sole breadwinner. I pay all the bills. So when she stopped cooking, I took that as like, oh, you're like purposely doing this to me. I wasn't even considering that she was 3 months postpartum and that we had a bigger house and there was things that she had to do in the house and she was overwhelmed. I'm just looking at it like, I'm working 18 hours a day. Like, I'm coming home like Fred Flintstone. Where's my dinner at? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I had to adjust my mindset too to think, you know what? Well, maybe I do need to get some, like, let's hire some cleaners to come in the house to kind of help. So you don't have to worry about cleaning anymore. Oh, you know what? If you are overwhelmed and cooking doesn't work for you, I'll start making sure I can get home so I can cook. Or, you know what? I'll meal prep on Sunday, cook our meals for the week so that you don't have to worry about that while I'm off at work and the kids and stuff like that. So it's just being mindful of like what your person is going through so that then you can do what you need to do to make sure as a unit you get through it together.
That's for sure. Beautiful.
I love that. Beautiful. You guys are going to go far.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Before I have you give your socials, I have to say this. You both have like really amazing skin.
You guys are beautiful people.
It almost looks like there's a filter on James, like a smooth filter on your skin.
I'm dropping a men's skincare line soon. You know what I'm saying? Man.
People are going to buy it. I'm looking at your skin. Listen, Tina has a glow, right? It's beautiful. It's very like, yes, I am happy.
Her life sparkles.
Out. Yes, it's giving me my life sparkles. That's exactly what it's giving. It looks like James has a smooth filter on his skin.
And we this room that we're in has the best light, and natural light in our house. So
the
you're getting
sun really
us
is like, throwing y'all an alley-oop right now.
The perfect light.
God's ring light is hilarious.
That's
the
great.
Sun is just God's ring light. Hilarious.
That's fantastic. Tell the people where they can find you on social media and give them the name of your podcast. I've actually, I knew you guys had one, but you guys done it a while ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I am Her Life Sparkles on everything, on all socials. And you?
And I am James Meeks across all socials.
And then our podcast page is Life Partner Gang.
Yes, gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so very much. This was fun. I hope you guys had a good time.
Appreciate
we had a good
y'all.
Time.
Thank y'all.
Great.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Yes, thank you guys so much. Humble.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.